Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening. Hope you're well. Hope you're doing okay in this mad, mad world that we seem to be part of at the moment. It's, if it's not one thing, it's another. And it's I just wanted to welcome you and welcome Jill Pay, who's being our co-host again this evening. And it is our last show that we're hosting, which is sad but true. And also, it's, you know, that's why we've called Moving On with Grace and Thanks. And it's about completing and about completion. And, you know, it's finding out, you know, when you know something has served its purpose, you know, the sadness and sometimes a little bit of regret. But it's, you know, how do you let go and move on, you know? When it's important, you know, it's important to reflect and gain the gold of completion with grace. And, you know, it's taking time to complete well. It's bringing all the loose ends together, you know, to make a clean exit without hurt or, you know, energy circuits not being completed. Whether it's a relationship, a job, moving to a new house or a new area, it's really important to, you know, obviously gather all of the energy together so that you can complete with grace. And, you know, it's really important to then be able to move on cleanly to a new endeavour. And once the energy is free, it is the right time to go. So, you know, obviously, Acorn to Oak wants to thank On Times Radio for all of their help and their support during this amazing but strange time in history. And, you know, hope that you've enjoyed Matthew, Jill, myself, Penny, but also Adam, who was around, you know, did some of the shows early on in the year. And it's been an amazing 18 months. So it's, you know, it's about holding you in our highest will and good and in our hearts and wish you well for the future. But we've also got a show to do. So Jill's here. So hi, Jill. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm really good. Thank you. Yes, I mean, as you say, it does feel like a sad, but it feels like the right time. And this is what we're going to be talking about, obviously, about knowing when it's the right time to let something go or to complete. So, yeah, very much looking forward to this show as well.
Yeah, it's like, you know, things come in cycles, don't they? It's like the normal year of a project sometimes. You know, when you look at nature's 12-month period, you know, we go through spring, we've got summer, we're going now desperately into autumn. I say desperately into autumn. It's turned chilly in the United Kingdom. And it was like, you know, for me, it was like, who turned the heating off? You know, it's just, and I was talking to someone earlier on today and saying, I'm desperate not to turn the heating on yet. And I cracked this afternoon around about 3 o'clock and just went, it is too chilly in this house now. I'm going to have to put on the heating. So it's just obviously the, you know, heralding the winter months coming in. And, you know, sometimes that's OK in the UK because we're an island. So, you know, we don't get probably the desperate cold that you that people get in countries where they're inland a lot from the sea and, you know, desperately cold winters. We don't have desperately cold winters in the United Kingdom. But we get wet ones. And so it's just like, oh, no, we're going into the, it's like the rainy season in the UK in the winter. So I'm just hoping that we're going to have some bright but chilly days, because I don't mind those. If we have to wrap up, then that's okay as long as the sun is shining, because unfortunately the UK can be quite grey in the winter. So yeah, it's, as I was saying, it's like about everything else. It's making sure when you complete a project or you complete a relationship, or as I was saying earlier on, a job, or moving to a new moving house or into a new area, it's making sure that you leave with grace and you leave with gratitude and you leave with appreciation. And I know that's really quite difficult when it's a relationship. A job is easier, but it's also, if you are moving house or if you are moving to a new area, it's remembering to take all of your belongings with you. And when I talk about all of your belongings, I'm not just talking, obviously, about your house content. I'm talking about your energy. And it was really quite interesting because we're going, myself and my husband and my little boy at the moment are looking for a house. And it's just really quite interesting is making sure that you have completed with the house completely before you actually move away, so that the new owners can move in without having your energy still left in the house. And it's very much the same when you're moving a job. Once you've handed over and you're moving the job, hopefully for a promotion or a better one, it's you complete, and it's like, the handover that you're giving for the job, the person who's coming into your job. And it's really crucial also in a relationship to make sure that if you are leaving a relationship, whether that's a one-to-one romantic relationship or if it's a friendship where you found that you need to move on because you're actually, again, either moving house or you're an area, or it's a case of you've grown, you have grown and the other person may not have grown. And it's really important to do it with as much grace as you can muster. So, Jill, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yes, I mean, I think absolutely. It made me, put me in mind, you're talking about moving house, and very much some of the techniques that I've learned through working with energy is very much the way I operate. So the last time I moved house, I made sure, obviously, that we moved everything out, but cleaned it thoroughly and mindfully so that it felt like I was leaving it as nice as I could for the next person. And then using salt, because we use salt a lot in our energetic processes, because that helps to cleanse the energy. So something around rituals and rites of passage and things come up for me around completion. And thinking about the seasons, yeah.
That's a really good point. And it's, as you said, it is doing it with as much grace as possible, because unfortunately sometimes when we do leave a relationship, there might be some resentment or bitterness around it. And, for each of us to feel good about moving on and in the completion process, I suppose, yes, you can actually talk about, a leaving ceremony, really, more than anything else. And having everybody's highest will and good in mind, and having, having some spiritual generosity around holding their highest will and good in your heart and wishing them well and knowing that some things just need to complete. We're not very good at this as human beings. Mm. We're not very good at saying goodbye or knowing that something has come to its natural end. And it's really important to remember the energetics of the situation, where, I talk about, cutting cords energetically. And remembering that cutting course is just allowing the other people to move on without hurt. And I suppose, you know, the ultimate completion is if a loved one dies, or a friend dies, or a situation happens. And cutting the cords is so necessary. And, you know, it's a simple thing where, you know, energetically you think about getting out. And I always use golden scissors for this because it seems appropriate. But you go to your chakra centers and you cut the cords between you and the situation, and you or the house, or you and the person. And you make sure that you've tied off the cord, the energy cords, between you and that person. And then you take the golden scissors and you cut the cord between those two tie-offs. So nobody leaks energy. Nobody feels like they've been abused, or the cords have ripped. And, you know, when I talk to people who are going through bereavement and they talk about the hurt of when that person has died and left, and it is a physical pain, having gone through it myself, it is a big physical pain. But if you can cut the cords before they're ripped out of you, then you stop that pain and the angst and the grief to a certain extent. Of course you're going to grieve somebody if that they've died, or you've lost them, or they've moved away, or whatever. But it's really important, one, to take care of yourself, but also to have the empathy and compassion to care for that other person also, and making sure it's done in the most, and I would say, you know, don't get me wrong, but the most adult thinking fashion that you can, instead of, you know, throwing toys out of the pram. So again, I'm you know, I know this is a discussion, so I don't want to talk too long without saying, you know, what's your take on this, Jill?
Yes, I think we've talked in the past about how we kind of, as human beings, even with the conscious parenting, we talked about somehow operating on different levels. So obviously, if you're going through a bereavement process, then you have to take care of all your feelings and everything around that for yourself. But at another level, you can see it as an opportunity to complete with that person in this lifetime. And so you can do that completion. And it's a way of becoming more conscious around how you live your life, which is the kind of message that we've been giving throughout all the radio shows in one way or another. But in this completion, it's the same thing. It's knowing that this is, you know, saying goodbye or letting that person go is something that is, you know, something you can undertake in a conscious way. Now, sometimes there's not that, you know, that's great if you know that person's going to die or they're on their way out. And sometimes that's not going to happen, but you can still take the opportunity as soon as you can to do that completion. As I say, and at the same time, being taking care of yourself or those around you, making sure that everyone is also, you know, being with their feelings, and complete and being kind to yourself as well.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, obviously we don't want to delve in and talk about grief and separation and people dying. Oh, this is the last show. We want to be happy and jolly and everything else. But it's also very much part of the, you know, completion. And obviously, you know, going through a grieving stage, everything actually needs to be grieved to a certain extent. And it may well take you 5 minutes to grieve the fact that actually I'm so happy moving out of this house, you know, I haven't enjoyed living here or whatever it is. And maybe you're going off on to bigger and better things, or maybe you're actually downsizing. It depends on the reason why you're moving in the first place. But it's also very important to, you know, if you can complete successfully whatever it is, whether it's a project, a job, a moving house, a relationship change, or whatever it is, if you can complete successfully, then it's not going to drag you back in energy thinking, or I wish I'd done that with more grace, or I wish I'd just cleaned those, you know, front doorsteps before I actually left, or it would have been nice to have cleansed out, you know, the house with some salt so that when the new owner actually arrives or the new person moves in, they actually have got a clean canvas in energy and they can start building whatever it is that they would like to build. And, you know, for me, it may sound quite, you know, well, I wouldn't say it sounds harsh, but it's our responsibilities as adults, thinking adults, to do this completion before we actually hand on that space to anybody else. Because, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's always, you know, treat others the way that you want to be treated yourself. And, you know, it's just having that compassion of actually realizing that, you know, just because you're not going to be there doesn't mean that the space doesn't need to be cared for. So, you know, again, I'm probably reiterating a little bit of what Jill said. But it's, you know, it's having that, you know, if you were writing a list, and it's very much about, you know, if you're moving house, you write lists all the time. You know, have I got everything? Have I, you know, checking the drawers, doing all that type of stuff and making sure that everything, you're actually taking all the stuff with you. You know, you wouldn't leave a whole bunch of rubbish or if you're in the States, garbage, in the bins if you're actually moving house. You would make sure that they were empty, and you would make sure that, you know, anything that needed to be taken off site had been taken off site, so that the person who is moving in can actually move in with freedom and also appreciation of how well you've cared for the space that they're moving into. And I think, you know, it's obviously then it's very, very welcoming. And, you know, you don't need to go completely nuts and leave a bottle of champagne and a box of chocolates on the side. You know, by all means, if you're that type of person, go for it. But you don't need to do that. But people appreciate the fact that, you know, the drawers are clean and everything else is in good order. And, you know, it also helps, it helps with your own self-esteem. You know, if you're leaving something in a good state, then other people are going to appreciate it and they're going to have great thoughts about you and who you are. And that is, you know, that is a gift beyond anything. If somebody has a great impression about who you are, that's going to be really helpful to your ego. It's going to be really helpful to your self-esteem and your own self-confidence. So, yes, okay, maybe it's a little bit self-serving. But in a lot of ways, from an energetic point of view, it is just clean energy. You know, if we leave tacky stuff, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier on today and we were laughing about kids, you know, putting their hands in the candy jars. And I said, you get more than two kids with hands in the candy jar, you know, they're going to come out with sticky fingers and then they're going to put that on the walls. And, you know, it was really quite interesting. My son Hector is at nursery at the moment, and he came out, and one of the nursery attendants basically turned around to him and said, you know, put your gel on your hands before you leave. In other words, you know, if there was anything at nursery, then he's making sure his hands are clean before he comes out and gives me a hug. It's the first thing he does is give me a hug and a kiss. So, you know, it's about, you know, we've been in interesting times with COVID. And it's, you know, one of the things, you know, that we're all getting used to is a new level of hand hygiene as well as masks. And it's really important that we take care of other people as well as taking care of ourselves. So anyway, we're going into a break, so we'll see you after the break.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, so we're back from the break. It's Penny Quayle Pierce with Jill Pay, and we're talking about completing with grace. And we've been talking about different scenarios going on where that actually, you know, just for us at Acorn to Oak, it's really important to use tact and tar. You know, tact is actually telling the absolute complete truth and making sure that all communications are clear of any stickiness or stuckness and they're actually in the flow. And tar is about taking absolute responsibility. And I suppose that's what we're actually talking about right here, right now, is taking the responsibility to leave with grace, to consciously leave whatever situation it is, whether you're moving house or, you know, a relationship or, you know, a new job, a new area, a new anything. And one of the things during the break that I was remembering is my mom, you know, whenever we used to go on vacation and, you know, we would, because we're a family of six, you know, it was usually self-catering, and my mum would basically be cleaning or washing the floors and making sure it was all vacuumed and all of the cleaning was done, and she'd be backing out of the house backwards, making sure it was all sorted and done. And then when she closed the door, she knew it was basically absolutely pristine, and the way that one, the owner wanted it to be, but also, you know, an awful lot of vacation homes or holiday homes are then another person will be coming later on that day because, you know, either it's a week handover or a 2 week handover or whatever it is. And, you know, she would be wanting the next family to move in and have a good holiday. And it was very much part of her taking care of others. And you know, and I'm sure, you know, Jill, you come from you're a similar age to me, and I'm sure your mum would have been doing the same type of behavior. And you know, any stories about that you'd like to share?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, we found we left it cleaner than when we got there. Because, you know, it's just what we were brought up to do, and seeing how we were all also played our part. So Mum wasn't just left doing everything, you know, we were all encouraged to pack our own bags or do whatever, you know, our own chores, part of it, which also meant that we were involved in that process. And I really learned from that, you know, if I go to a hotel or stay at someone else's place or whatever, you know, I'm always very careful to leave it as I would like to find it, and thank the room. You know, it sounds a bit crazy, but actually it's not, because actually you're acknowledging that that room has served you, and it's part of the completion for me as I leave to just acknowledge that, and leave it so that I take my energy with me.
Because, you know, sometimes when we forget, you know, I've moved a few times in my life, and it's very much about, if you complete with the house, then you can let it go and you don't have a pull or a yen to go back there. And it's really important, so that you can, again, energetic management of managing your own energy, but letting go of energy that no longer serves you. And so that it can evolve as well as you evolving into whatever new situation you're in. And, you know, if you keep on getting pulled back by things, and, you know, even as Jill was saying, you know, if you don't take your energy out of a hotel room, you'll eventually go back to that hotel to complete. And, you know, for me, I like to complete with things so that it gives me the opportunity to go out and explore new things and have new experiences. And, you know, therefore I don't keep on looping around the same old, same old. And it's just, you know, this is when you need to actually say, you know, if this is no longer serving my purpose, then I need to make a new empowering decision to what I'm going to go out and enjoy next. And it's very much, you know, remember, enjoy. It's, you know, it's enjoy and enjoy. And it's very much about that. It's allowing yourself to evolve and evolve. And yes, it's fantastic to remember the past, and it's fantastic to have memories, as long as they don't pull you back into old ways of behaviour, because it feels safe, instead of actually, well, what else, as I said, what else can I enjoy and enjoy at the same time? And, you know, it is quite interesting how people want to stay in familiar surroundings because it makes them feel safe, but it's not actually helping them grow. So anything you want to add to that one, Jill?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you literally were reading my mind. I was thinking the same, because, of course, you know, we're not saying that you can't have memories of that space or that relationship or whatever it is that you're moving on from. You know, it's, but those memories are clean. Those memories are, you know, are literally that. They're not pulling you back with regrets or if onlys or whatever. You know, you're actually moving on. And even if the choice has not necessarily been made by you, but it's been made by circumstances, I still think you can allow this process of completion and learning and taking from it what you've learned, and take that to the next situation, the next relationship. Because otherwise you're kind of building up this backlog of energetic ties, and that just muddle everything in your life. That can muddle relationships where you live, that can just muddle everything, so you're never quite clear where you are, who you're with, etc., etc. So it's about, you know, making sure that those completions are fully realized.
Fully done, yeah. And you know, what it reminds me of sometimes is, I can't remember if it was a poem or a song, talking about the ties that bind. And, you know, if you have ties that bind you to all sorts of different situations or different people, and, you know, and there's a change in that situation, you get pulled, you know, left, right, up, down, and all about by energetic ties that haven't been cleanly severed and released with love and joy and grace, obviously. And it, when you were talking there, Jill, it just reminded me, both of us are homeopaths, and we trained in homeopathy together. And there were three of us who were, you know, like thick as thieves, and the slightly beyond the pale with laughing and joking and also learning and growing together. And Yvonne, who was the person who made the trio, died earlier on this year from cancer. And, you know, it was very, very quick. And thank God it was very, very quick for her to be released from cancer. And obviously, you know, in our way of talking, you know, to be released to go to heaven, to, you know, be released into spirit. And it was, as I said, it was quite shocking because it was so fast. She brought, you know, she had only been, had the biopsy done in February, and she was dead by mid-March. And obviously we were going through lockdown at the same time, so I hadn't seen her for probably 4 or 5 months. And luckily I'd spoken to her, unfortunately not on the phone, but we'd been texting and, you know, on Messenger. And you know, obviously I knew what was going on and had sent her much love. But the best completion that Jill and I had was, it was an afternoon, wasn't it, Jill, where we just told stories about her and remembered all the real funny times. And, you know, because we'd known each other. We'd known each other for 20-odd years. And, you know, Yvonne was a fantastic homeopath, but we also called her, you know, she was my business partner for 7 or 8 years. And we used to call her Anchor Woman, you know, making sure that she looked like a superhero, you know, red cape and red boots and all sorts of different stuff. And Yvonne was only 4'11", so she, I'm 5'7½". And she literally used to come up to my boob level because she was short. And we had, you know, Jill and Yvonne and myself, we had so many belly laughs and so much fun and so much joy in each other's company. And, you know, you have to have those memories and look at those memories and just say, thank heavens I knew this woman. Thank heavens I could call her a friend, because, you know, my life, if I hadn't have known her, my life would be less rich. And it's having that attitude, whatever relationship it is that you, you know, maybe you're having a parting of ways, or as I said, somebody dies from a pathology or whatever it is. But every time I think of Yvonne, I laugh and smile, because that is exactly what she brought into my life. And, you know, and some of the conversations, as you can imagine, when you're in a college, you know, College of Homeopathy for 4 years together, you know, some of the stuff that we got up to was, you know, just hilarious, absolutely hilarious. So, yeah, you know, I know you enjoyed that. That afternoon as well, Jill, when we
definitely
were just chatting about her. And
it, you know, it just felt like a yeah it felt like a real completion for that moment, you know, a real completion. Yeah. Because that was how we lived when we were together, you know, that is exactly what we would have been doing. And it was as though she were there. So we were, it wasn't like we were talking about her as though she was somewhere else. She was there, you know, enjoying it as well. She was very much present and part of that, which is part of the completion for now, was very much that. And, you know, when I look back at some of the antics we got up to, and actually at the same time, really not taking it as seriously as it needed to be taken. And I think that's a key, really, because often people think I'm going to do this study, I'm going to be this person, and it all suddenly becomes very, very serious. And yes, of course, you do what you need to do and you take it as seriously as it needs to be taken, but it doesn't mean you can't have fun. And I think that was a real learning for me through Yvonne and Penny, a real learning for me that actually you're allowed to have a laugh and have fun at the same time as, you know, undertaking a study to be a professional study as well. So, you know, we learned a lot together. We really grew and learned a lot together. So it's acknowledging that. And I think, but what we're saying as well, it can be in any circumstance, you know, you take the gold. And that was the gold for us from that relationship that we all had. So you take that forward. And the other thing that came up for me was around how by doing the conscious completion in whatever area, you also allow, so even if it's a job, if you're leaving that job and someone's coming in to fill that job role, you leave it for them. So if you're leaving a relationship, you're leaving them to get on with their lives as well. It's not just all about you. It's also about like we said about the house, it's about, you know, the people coming in or the people that are going on. You're allowing them that freedom as well.
And also for that, then, you know, if they're coming in and taking over a job or a house or whatever it is, it's allowing them to have the freedom to put their uniqueness and their unique genius into it. So anyway, it sounds like we're off on another break, so we'll be back in a little while and we'll speak to you then.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website,
acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So hi guys, we're back and we're talking about completion with grace, and also very much obviously the last part is okay, we're moving on, and it's a case of Jill, what are you doing? What's happening with you right now? How are you going to be moving on and evolving over the next few months?
In terms of what's happening with me, I've got literally 5 or 6 months till I officially retire, in other words, reach official retirement age. But what that also means for me is not that I'm not going to retire at all, because I'm actually very excitedly putting together a different way of working and playing and being in my life. So I feel actually ready now, completely ready to move on from that and into this new phase. And it's at the moment I'm in the overlap phase, because I still work in my job for 3 days a week, which is great, and it's giving me a base. But I know that I'm winding down over the next 5 or 6 months, and at the same time building up a different way of working and, as I say, playing. Because it's really important.
I know you really well, and I obviously, you know, for me, it's really exciting to see you getting so much more back into art and creative projects, and, you know, beginning to coach people, other people, how to bring out their creativity. Because, you know, your art is astonishing, and, you know, such vibrant colours and, you know, mandalas and all sorts of different things, which is just really interesting. And, you know, obviously you've got your Facebook page is, a doodle a day. A doodle a day. I love that. A doodle a day. You know, for me, it's, you know, very much the end part of that is a doodle a day keeps the doctor away, because you're taking care of your, you know, your mental health and your creativity and your passion and, you know, your right brain. And, you know, so you're getting balance between the right and the left. And it's just real interesting stuff, and it's really exciting. So yeah, I'm sure all of the listeners would really like to say to you, Jill, great, you're nearly in retirement, you're just about to play full time, play as hard as you can, you know. That would be my advice. Just keep on playing. That's good. Hey, that's great. And, you know, for me, my life has been changing dramatically over, COVID and lockdown and various other bits and pieces, because obviously recovering from surgery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I'm back 100%, which is great, and I'm taking on board new products, new products and new programs, should I say. I've been in touch with TEDx, and I'm going to be doing a series of TEDx talks, which is really exciting, you know, because now, of course, it's all virtual. And, you know, what is even more marvellous is you don't have to get on an aeroplane and fly to far-flung places to give TEDx talks anymore. You can do it virtually, which is great. And I'm starting a new coaching programme, is it next week, about, you know, living with unconditional love and your authentic self, and calling in all of those wonderful juicy feelings of feeling calm and creative and just totally and utterly in the flow. So that's a 12-week program, which I'm really looking forward to. And because, you know, the way to learn something yourself is to teach it. You have to put yourself out there and be very, very present. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it's been quite astonishing, the last couple of day courses that I've been doing is I'm doing it at 3 o'clock in the time in the afternoon, GMT, because we've got a base of Americans that seem to be very drawn to our work right here, right now. So that's really thrilling and really good. So we're just, the one thing about, you know, lockdown and the isolation is forcing us all to do stuff in a totally different way. And one of the things that Acorn to Oak found was that we brought an awful lot of what we offer online via Zoom. And Zoom has been an astonishing thing. I mean, it was a huge learning curve for me to get hold, you know, get to grips with the technology. But it has been so incredible, I think, in its own right. And it's just beginning to, you know, look at some of the restrictions that we've been under during this pandemic and just really beginning to work with it and not resist it. Because an awful lot of us at the very beginning resisted an awful lot of things that the governments were asking us to do because we just didn't want our liberty taken away from us. But when you actually look at it and just go, you know, a pandemic is a pandemic. And obviously, you know, coming from a medical background myself, you know, you just look at it and go, we have to get with the beat if we're going to get over, you know, a pandemic that is worldwide. And, you know, when you look at some of the lessons, and it is a road, it's a journey. You know, some of the things that, you know, we have tried in the UK, and I know in America it's been the same, of coming out of lockdown maybe a bit too quick, because, you know, we were all really worried about how the economy was going to was it going to bounce back, or were we going to crash? And I know both of our governments have maybe made, you know, decisions that weren't necessarily the best, because we've seen a rise in cases, and you know, the R level has gone up again. And you look at it, and obviously in the UK we're not back into lockdown yet, but it's on the cards. We may well have to do that, depending on how the cases rise in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, you do look at it and just go, you know, one of the things that we, you know, no mistakes have been made. And we have to realise this, that no mistakes have been made. It's just whether we've actually sat on different decisions, that difficult decisions that should have been made earlier, maybe in hindsight. And this is very much what we're talking about here, is that some decisions to move on, or some decisions in order, you know, maybe we need to change tack on this. You know, we're making those decisions in our daily life, and it's not just governments who are making it. We are doing this on a personal level also. And, you know, no decision that you make is going to be wrong. It is just a decision. And maybe it's something that's not helpful and you need to change it, PDQ, which, by the way, is pretty bloody quick. So you may need to change it, PDQ, because it's not working out. But that doesn't mean it was wrong. It just means that it wasn't helpful to you in the situations that you're finding yourself. And when we leave something with angst or despair, or walking away from it saying that was not helpful, or why did that person do that to me, we are actually dragging ourselves back. And it's like we literally put an anchor in and freeze it in that moment of time, and we cannot get ourselves back into the flow very easily. So, you know, the whole show has been about leaving with grace or completing with grace, or, you know, grace is a great person. So, you know, it's all about grace. It's all about grace is very much like any energetic tool. It's like it makes things, it makes things run smoothly. It greases the wheel. It makes things move without bumps or, getting clogged up in rust or anything else. And it's, you know, if there was one thing, I know that Acorn to Oak and I know Jill and I know Matthew would say to you, is just look at it and be committed to take action when you get stuck. And if you're committed to take action when you feel stuck or you feel depressed or you feel that something is not working for you, you know, action basically causes a reaction, which means that you're in movement. Therefore, if you're in movement, it doesn't matter which direction you go in because you'll eventually find your way. But if you keep moving and keep on going, your life will not become stagnant and it will not start to smell like rotten socks. And it will actually start to move, you know. And it's, you know, you can actually get rid of all of that clutter and all of that toxic garbage that you've had hanging about. Yeah. Anything that you would like to say, Jill, here?
Yes, definitely. I think it's absolutely right. It's almost like, you know, you have to get to that point and you have to say, well, I've got to do something. So just do whatever, because you can course correct. It doesn't matter, but you've shifted out of that. You know, Penny, you use the analogy, which I've always come back to, of the record where you're going round and round the grooves. And you can go around those grooves forever and not go anywhere. And you scratch that record. Scratching that record is making that decision, whether it's the best decision at the time. It doesn't matter. You just make that decision, scratch that record. So you shift that energy and then you can move. And once you start to move, then if you need to course correct or say, OK, we've taken a bit of a detour here, but, you know, I'm going up this road again now. And at least you're moving. So, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's easy, as you said, it's easy to course correct once you've got momentum, you know, as in movement. But you can't course correct if there's no movement. You just stay stuck. And, yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, one of the funniest things, I think, one of the funniest jobs I've ever done in my life was when I was teaching anatomy and physiology in the College of Classical Homeopaths.
Yes.
And people just looked at me, you know, friends like Jill and various other people would just shake their heads and go, what on earth are you doing at the School of Classical Homeopathy? Because I was nowhere near a classical homeopath. I was way too out there for most classical homeopaths. And in homeopathy, one of the guys who was really important in homeopathy was a chap called Hahnemann. And Hahnemann basically wrote several books, and he, in total, there were seven what we call the organons, which were like the Bible of homeopaths. And the classical homeopaths would basically just, you know, they were using, or they thought that number six and number seven were the most important things, and they would base their practice on that. Whereas myself, as an intuitive homeopath, would look at all the new provings and various other bits and pieces, and look at, you know, from my point of view, very much look at the big picture. And I always used to say to the classical homeopaths, you know, it's really interesting that you do that. Don't you find that kills the energy in the homeopathic practice? And actually, if you get stuck, or in anything, if you get stuck, all you create is a mausoleum to the thing that you're passionate about.
Mm.
So you're just creating this big building with no feeling in it whatsoever. You know, energetic medicine, whether it be homeopathy, whether it be Reiki, whether it be Breath for Life breathwork, whether it's mindfulness or meditation or all of these things, need to be in the flow in order to keep them live. And, you know, when something is kept live, it sustains hundreds of thousands of people on the planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or should I say millions of people on the planet. If it's stuck, all it does is start to, you know, vibrate in a real low vibrational level, and it causes swamps. So my wish for you is you go out there, you enjoy your life, and you know, if yes. ever Acorn to Oak can help you or support you, get in touch. And I really want to thank the Om Times Radio team yes. for their help, their support, the laughter, the enjoyment that we've had, and God bless you all. Yes. Jill, anything you want to say?
Absolutely. God bless everybody and have a great time out there.
Enjoy yourselves. And take care.